Thank you, thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many are happy to be in church today? All right, that's three of you. Let's try this again. How many are happy to be in church today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we need to show it. We need to proclaim it. Even the people watching us over through the Facebook or whatever social media need to know that there is a people that love God. There is a people that praise the Lord because God is God. Jesus is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is here today. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand. Let's praise the Lord for a moment. Let's get some of the juices going. I know some of you may not have had breakfast, maybe thinking lunch already, but praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just shake it off a little bit. Let's just praise the Lord for a moment. Without the music that's here, it's nice with the music and everything, but let's just praise the Lord. Just say hallelujah, glory to God, whatever comes to you, just praise his holy name. Praise you, praise you, praise you, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You know, God moves in the midst of the worship and the praises of his people. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. We know that in the scriptures, the glory of God would come down in the middle of all of them. And the Bible says that it was so great that the ministers couldn't even minister. Praise God. That would be great to see here tonight or this morning. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, it's all about Jesus. The scriptures is about Jesus, and everything we do is about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ of Nazareth because he's the one that paid the price. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. You can go ahead and have your seats, please. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, says that he instituted some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, all for the edification of the church. You know, sometimes, all the time, most mainly, the pastor stands up here and gives the message. Sometimes it's Sandra. Sometimes it's Howard. Sometimes it where is the other guy at? Jason. He left on me. Where is he? Sometimes it's Jason. Oh, there he is, way back there. Praise God. But it's all for the edification of the church. He uses our personality. He uses our character to bring about what God wants to do. No need for us to determine, oh, he preaches this way, or he says the message this way, or he teaches that way. God is the one that gives us that desire and that motivation and that way of preaching or whatever the case may be. Glory to God. I want to say that up front because a little bit of my preaching or the way that the Lord uses me, it's a little unorthodox sometimes. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But from the very beginning, when the Lord called me, I asked him, I said, Lord, may I preach, but may I preach the way you want me to preach, not how anybody wants to see me preach. That when I preach, let it be your word. Let it be your message. You're the one that knows the hearts. You're the one that knows the situation of each and every individual. Just use me as an instrument of yours, as the vessel that I am of yours, and to you be the glory. And let it be by in boldness. Without worrying about who's going to say what. Because if anybody criticizes, their argument isn't with me, but their argument is with you. Praise God. And Ezekiel, God told the people, hey, Ezekiel, go out there and tell them what I tell you to tell them. And if they don't listen to you, don't worry. It's not that they don't want to listen to you. It's just that they don't want to listen to me. But you got to tell them what I told you to tell them. And if they don't listen, then their blood is on their own hands. But if you don't tell them what I told you to tell them, then their blood is on your hands. So I'm obedient to God. Praise the Lord. So I know that, you know, we stood up, we praised the Lord and shouted out to the Lord and everything else. And I know sometimes we have our AAs, BAs, MBAs, PhDs, MDs, JDs, all the Ds that you could think of. And sometimes it's like, oh, this is not professional. I want to be looked at as like I'm doing something out of the ordinary, a scandal going on here. But more of us need to receive that JC in our lives. Jesus Christ, He's the one that gives us the motivation. He's the one that gives us the knowledge through his Holy Spirit. It is Jesus Christ who does all that. That's what we need. You remember when Peter was in front of his enemies over in the council, and he was telling them about Jesus. And he wasn't afraid of saying it. And what did the council say? They say, well, wait a minute. They were marveled at the way he spoke. Why? He goes, these are unlearned people. And yet, look at the way they speak. And then it says, they remembered that he walked with Jesus. You may think you don't know enough. You may think you're not learned enough. But let me tell you that if you put your hands in Jesus' hands, you can do all things through Christ, because he's the one that gives us the strength. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not coming here like a motivational speaker. It may sound like one, but I'm not a motivational speaker. I don't come here as to give a therapy session to make people feel good. Not positive thinking or anything like that. But to preach the unadulterated word of God. You see, when God is in the situation, there is no one that can come against you. And whatever you say, if you're preaching the word of God, again, their problem is not with me. Their circumstance not with me. It's with the one whose word it is, and it's God's. Now, like I said, not to feel good. And I'm telling you right now, some of you may feel uncomfortable. Some of you may feel downright offended at times when I say them. Say the rest of the message. But that's okay. That's okay, because when the Holy Spirit brings conviction to your heart, these things, you'll be feeling these things. And some might even try to justify it, even using the word like the enemy used it when he tried to tempt Jesus. But put your head, your mind, all your soul, forget about yesterday, forget about work tomorrow, forget about where you're going to lunch today, and put your focus on Jesus today, right now, in this moment. And let him do what he wants to do in your heart. Don't resist what the Lord has for you today. Praise God. Now, I say this because the message that the disciples and the apostles preached was a message of repentance, a message of conviction. Where is the preaching of conviction today? Where is the preaching of repentance today? We hardly hear anybody talking about the devil, Satan. We hardly hear anybody talking about hell. But yet it is as real as anything else. Jesus himself talked about hell. Jesus himself talked about Satan. But we don't hear it today. We have to know both sides. We have to know that God is in control. We have to know that God is real. We have to know that if we come to Jesus Christ, he will save us. But we also have to know that there is an enemy called Satan who's out like a roaring lion. And he's not going out to the people of the world, because he knows the people of the world. The people of the world belong to him. So who does he go after? He goes after the church of Jesus Christ. And when I say church, I'm not talking about just this church here. I'm talking about the body of Christ. The church. If it wasn't so, explain to me these statistics. This is from Educators Academy. It says that the Christian divorce rate is 33% as of January of 2025. Why is that? In the church. Christian. Maybe they may not be going to church all the time, but they're identifying as Christian. 33%. We have the word of God. We come into the preachings of the services and hear the word of God. What's going on? You see, this is not from lip service. Just like God told in Jeremiah, he said, hey, my people praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This is not about lip service. It's about praising him. It's about having a relationship, complete relationship with the Lord. Here's another one for you. This is from Living Well Organization and LifeWise Research as of 2023. I guess that's the earliest I could find, the latest I could find. It says that 7 out of 10 women that have abortion identify themselves as Christian. What's going on? We are the church of the body of Christ. The Bible says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are in this world, but not from this world. As an ambassador, we're representing the interests of our home, and that home is with Jesus Christ. We have to be representing that here on this earth. You wonder why the people in the church sometimes is the same as the people in the world. Well, if they're having the same thing in church and they are in the world, what's the difference? There has to be a change. There has to be a difference. People are hungry looking for God. People are hungry looking for a revival. We speak about revival. We even pray about revival. What is revival? When you revive something, what does that mean? They're dead. They're not living, and you're trying to bring them back to life. So when we have a revival, we're talking about reviving ourselves in the spirit. We're having a battle in the spiritual realm. This is not against flesh and blood. This is against principalities and evilness in the spiritual realm that we don't even understand. And we have to fight it spiritually. If we don't fight it spiritually, we're not going to be able to do anything about it. And many of you say, yeah, God's in control. Yeah, he knows that I'm weak. So many excuses. Quit your justification. Quit your excuses. Seek God in spirit and in truth and let him guide you. Because we even look at all these excuses sometimes, trying to justify using the word. Isn't that what Satan did with Jesus? Didn't he tempt him using the word? And Jesus overcame him, how? Using the word. Because the devil, Satan, is the father of all lies. And don't think that he's going to come against you in a way where you're going to notice right away that it's Satan, it's the devil. He comes against you in ways that are kind of like what he was. He was a serpent. Slimy, slurvy. Trying to get into your life and do things. So how does he do that? He comes in telling you half-truths. Deception. Yes, the word says this. But Jesus says, yeah, but it also says this. Completing it. Because the enemy will come splitting it. Praise God. Now, all of this, we got to understand that it's only Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. When we come to church, it is about Jesus. It is not about you. It is not about me. It is about Jesus. When we come to church, we should be praising the Lord in spirit and in truth. Jesus said that my house shall be called the house of prayer. How many people show up on Tuesday nights? Oh, that's another story. House of prayer. Only through prayer can we submit to God. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Many say, oh, resist the devil and he shall flee. Yes, but first it says submit to God. We can't do it on our own. We are no one on our own. And when we come to God, we have to believe that he is. We have to believe that he is God. We have to believe that he can do it all. We have to have it like such a relationship, such a love for Jesus Christ that we have to understand that we need to come to him that way. Not lip service, not saying we believe and yet our actions and our words and everything else says something different. The Bible says that without faith, well, let me ask you this way. Does the Bible say that without faith it is difficult to serve God? Does it say that without faith it's really hard to serve God? It doesn't, does it? It says that without faith it is impossible to please God. So not only coming that you believe, but that you have to really be genuinely believing in the Lord. The Bible says that the demons believe and they tremble. So it's not just a matter of believing. It's a matter of how is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you love him above all things? The first commandment is to love God with all your mind, heart, and soul, and everything else that is in your body. Love him. Seek him. So are we in that position? Examine yourselves today. Let us not walk out of here in the same way that we walked in. Let us walk out of here full of the Holy Ghost and fire, that we may be able to go and conquer the things of the world. Talking to people, how many of us, and you don't have to show your hands, but how many of us have relatives that still don't know the Lord, and that you talk to them and see them almost every day or every other day or every week or Thanksgiving, that don't know the Lord yet? Ask the Lord, Lord, first, take care of yourself. Seeking him in spirit and in truth, full of the Holy Ghost. And that comes through prayer. So come full with the Holy Ghost. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to speak? What do you want me to say to my relative, to my brother, to whoever? How do you want me to say it? And let it be you and not me. And don't be afraid of what they're going to say. Don't be afraid that if they kick you out of Thanksgiving, just take some of the turkey with you. Because the Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is power to my soul. We can't be ashamed. Many people are ashamed. Some say, oh, well, no, there's no way that I will recuse myself or leave Jesus or anything else like that. But yet that's what Peter said too. We can only do this filled with the power of God in our lives. This is what Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says. With my mouth, I confess Jesus Christ. And then that I believe in my heart that God rose Jesus from the dead. There is something powerful when we say things through our mouth. When we confess to the Lord, when we declare healing on people, whatever the case may be, there is something powerful when we are full of the Holy Ghost and confess it with our mouth. It happens. Jesus himself said it. You will do things, you will do greater things than I in my name. There is no other name under heavens given to us except the name of Jesus. And before the name of Jesus, all knees shall bow. Jesus is the answer. It is not about you, and it is not about me. It's about Jesus, no matter where we go. Now, God wants the praises and worship of his people. It is by no coincidence that over in Psalms 150, it says that we should praise them in the sanctuary. When we enter those doors, we should enter with thanksgiving in our heart. Paul started out a new series called Grateful Hearts, Grateful in Our Heart. When a people of God is grateful, when the people of God is really grateful in their hearts, I don't even have to tell you to praise them, because you will praise them. You will praise them because you are so full of his gratitude towards you. It doesn't matter. You'll be praising him in every corner. When your child does something great, you praise them. And you feel like you're part of it because he's done well, she's done well. And that's how we are, full of grace, full of that gratitude to God. You know, our last service, Pastor Paul asked, how many can say what are you grateful for? And some people stood up. So many things that the Lord does for us. On Sundays, when the pastor asks who has a testimony, he should be wondering who to pick, because they're all the hands going up, instead of waiting around to see which hand goes up first. Who wants to break the ice? When there is a gratitude in our heart, we can't wait to tell the world. Praise God. And I encourage you that every week that goes by, you just keep in memory or write it down. What did God do for you that week? So when Pastor Paul asks who has a witness, who has a testimony, rise up. You see, this is not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. You don't know who you're blessing just by telling your testimony. Howard knows that very well when we went over to Panama. He goes, Edward, I don't know what I'm going to be preaching about. I said, what do you got? He goes, well, I can tell him about my testimony. Well, praise the Lord. And how many people came sobbing with your testimony? How many people did we encounter going through that gang area where you couldn't go through unless the gang member allowed you to go through? The Lord, is it about Jesus? How many people did we encounter when Paul and Dave, we went over to Ecuador? And we encountered along the way. And Paul kept on asking me, what's the agenda for tomorrow? What's the agenda for tomorrow? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you put me on the spot too, so. I said, whatever the Lord wants. That's what I would tell them, whatever the Lord wants. When we first got there, they picked us up at the airport. We went over to it because it was a four-hour drive. So we went from one place to about midway. We stayed there with some folks there. This guy that has a place for troubled men. Young boys and men. Young boys, you know, over 18, adults. And we stayed there. Paul wouldn't have been able to blow on that. What is it called? The shofar? The big old horn over there. Because the guy was like all of the Jewish and all the Hebrew stuff. I mean, it was just laid out in his sanctuary. We wouldn't have, if we would have planned that, we wouldn't have been there. And then when we went there the next day, over to where we were at final destination, they told us, okay, here's where you're going to stay, blah, 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 and we're going to go and meet some people over in this area. So, okay, we went. When we got there, it was there was a church, a building that was being built for a church. And we didn't know everything that was going to be going on. Like I said, we just went. I told Paul, I said, let the Holy Spirit guide us. So we got there, and the lady comes to me and says, like, oh, okay, they're going to be singing a song over there, and they're going to be saying some announcements, and after that, you guys can, you know, do a song and whatever, but I want you to come and preach. I didn't know I was going to be there to preach. I just got here. But hey, praise the Lord. I said, okay, praise the Lord. So I went over to Paul, and I said, Paul, what can you do? What can you play in Spanish? Think of a song that's in English that we also sing in Spanish and just play that one. And that's what he did. And Paul's over there, and all of a sudden, he's just going at it on the keyboard. And the people are looking like, well, the actual people that were playing the keyboard for their music were watching Paul, and it's like, man, how does he do that? And they were amazed, and it was a witness to them as well. And then I preached, and people came and sobbing, and I mean, it was just glorious. And then from there, we finished, and we're like, okay, so maybe we're going to go get some lunch or something. I don't know what the deal was. No. Here comes three people, three guys. One was going to go with Paul. One was going to go with me, and the other one was going to go with Dave to go preach at some other church. And, you know, Paul, seasoned preacher. But Dave, I just came here to help put on the roof. And I'm going like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing there. And I'm going like, what do you got? Well, I mean, I could tell him about a testimony. I said, do it. So I made sure that the other people knew at least some English so they can translate the preaching. And that's what we did. And then Dave comes back all excited. I can't believe it. I mean, I had people coming up to the front. I don't even know what I said. You know, and the same thing with Paul. He's like, I don't know. I had people falling on the side. I don't know what was going on over there. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. When we put ourselves in the hands of Jesus, he will take care of all the rest. That's why, what is it, Matthew 6:33, right, Howard? We said it the other day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will come to pass. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We try to do so many things on our own, but it is not about us. It is about Jesus. Trying to do so many things, but it's about Jesus. So submitting to God, how do we do that? We'll come to the Lord in prayer. Oh, but I don't know how to pray. What do you mean you don't know how to pray? Every time Paul comes and stands here at the end of the prayer, he says, our Father, who art in heaven. Now that is a model. It is a way of prayer. Because remember that the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. He didn't tell them, what do we say? Teach us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's telling us that when we come to him, first we glorify him. First we praise him. First we worship him. Because he is God above all God. He is our all. So we come first and we praise him and we worship him. Read the scriptures. See how the people of God came out and prayed to God. And as you keep going along those lines, what happens? We see that that same scriptures says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That means that there is an evil one. His name is Satan, the devil, that he's just roaring like a roaring lion, going about like a roaring lion to see who he can devour. Submit to God, and then what? Resist the devil. Now that we submitted to God, we have to resist the devil. Now remember, he is a liar and the father of all lies. He came not only to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came to do whatever he can to take as many as he can with him. He will steal your joy. He will kill your faith, and he will destroy you if you let him. If you let him. It's not about temptation, because we all get tempted. That's why we have to be in prayer day in and day out, every day, without ceasing, praying without ceasing. We are tempted every day. We are tempted, but we don't fall into temptation. Let us not fall into temptation. Jesus was tempted. And how did he overcome it? Like I mentioned earlier, with the word. And remember that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not against other folks who are not here. It's against the spiritual realm. And if we want to be victorious, we have to go into the spiritual world. And at the end, he says, he shall flee. Now, after the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the desert, what happened? He was tempted by the enemy, by Satan. And overcoming it, it says that he left them for a while. He left them. In the same manner that we submit to God and we resist the devil, he's going to leave. I know that sometimes it seems like, Lord, when am I going to get out of this? It seems like it's not no end in sight. But there will come a time when the enemy will flee. There are many times, even in the prayer nights, that we were praying for people that are here today. We are praying for healing that are healed. And so many other things. He will flee. Now, we're talking about the church, the body of Christ. So look at Deuteronomy 32:30. What does that say? That one will put to flight 1,000. That two will put to flight 10,000. In other words, when the body of Christ gets together in praise, in worship, in seeking God, we can cast out anything that comes against us. Putting out 1,000. If two can put down 10,000, how many do we have here today? Maybe 50? How many can we put out? That's why it says don't stop congregating. Don't stop getting together as some are accustomed to. If I'm over here by myself and I'm praising the Lord, well, praise the Lord, I can hear. But when all of us come as one, like we did at the beginning, just praising the Lord, it sounds like this big chorus. It sounds like this big shaking. And the enemy has no other thing to do but to leave, to flee. Praise God. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And we are the body of Christ. We have to do it relying everything on the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He is the one that will guide us. He is the one that takes care of us. He is the one that gives us the wisdom. He is our everything here. God is up in heaven. Jesus is up in heaven. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send the counselor who is the Holy Spirit, who would guide us to all righteousness and to all truth. Not only is the Holy Spirit so important, but the Bible says that every sin is forgivable except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's how important it seems. Now, I'm going to end with this. Not everyone, and this is in the scriptures, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 7:21-22, saying, by, and that was Jesus saying it. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. In another scripture, it says that in that day you will tell me, Lord, didn't I in your name cast out demons? Didn't I in your name heal the sick? And you will say, I will say, depart from me, evildoers, I never knew you. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And that relationship has to stand firm. Otherwise, we can't do it on our own. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father God, that you, Lord, these words that you have given me have gone into the hearts and the minds of each and every person here today, that we may leave this place not as we came, but filled with your Holy Ghost and power. And those, Lord, that have not experienced it, Lord, give them that opportunity, that privilege, that blessing, Lord, to experience what you have. We have seen it with our own eyes, or some of us have seen it with our own eyes, Lord. Some of us have participated in your glory, Lord. I ask you, Lord, oh Father, as we continuously ask for revival, that you manifest yourself and your anointing come in a mighty and special way. The glory and the honor is yours, Lord, because this is not about us. It is about you. Thank you, Jesus.